come to school on YouTube.
Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf Nivamas is Daf Kuf Aleph. We're back on Sadi Tests. Ahmed Aleph, we're starting today at the Mishnah. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf of the Lengos Yechon Nishmas Leva Gabriela Bashmua. We are in Mishnayos that discuss a lot of tarovas, a lot of mixtures, and a lot of confusion. Yesterday, perhaps the most extreme example that the Mishnah brought out, and that was where five children got mixed up, and every mother went home with maybe her child, maybe not her child. And we talked about those children getting married and dying in the mitzvah of Yibum for the surviving brothers, and certainly the most extreme version of the examples of confusion. The Mishnah over here not going to be as extreme a version. Let's start right away with the Mishnah. The bottom of Sadi Testament off. The Mishnah starts off. The Mishnah deals with is where a woman has her and her daughter-in-law are delivering at the same time. Okay, in big families, you'll find this that at the same time where the daughter-in-law is having a baby, so the mother-in-law is also having a baby. The mother's having a baby. Okay, either way, here the Mishnah describes a scenario where it's a mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, and they're both having a baby at the same time. And we don't know who's who. So they both had a boy, and the doctor says, "Okay, I'm really sorry. Okay, apologize, but I don't know who belongs to whom. So okay, but you know what? Take one of them home, and you'll raise them." And okay, good. So correct. So he deal out taros v'nasa nashim. So then the two boys grow up and they marry women umesu b'nei akala. So now the mission is going to be dealing with a number of scenarios. So scenario number one is, let's say the b'nei akala die, the son of the daughter-in-law. So chotzim v'lami avmishu safik eshes achiv safik eshes achiaviv. So now the brothers, when they say the brothers, surviving brothers, meaning those who know for sure that they are the children of the kala. So for them, they can't do yibum. Why? Because again, they don't know who that is, who died. It may be their brother, but it also may be their mother-in-law's son. And so what they're looking at over here possibly is it's either Eishes Achiv or it's Eishes Achiaviv. It's either the wife of my brother or it's the wife of my uncle. And if it's the wife of my uncle, that's a problem. That's a significant problem. That's an Erevan. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. So, okay. So as from a Suffolk perspective, so you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. On the other hand, he may have been our brother. So what are we going to do? We're going to do Chalitza. Fine. B'nei Hazakena, but let's go to the other case. Let's say the B'nei Hazakena dies, right? It's the mother-in-law's child. And again, we don't know for sure it's the mother-in-law's child, but again, the presumed mother-in-law's child. So there, Ocholz and Omiyabim. So there, you can do Chalitza and Yibum. Okay, why? Because again, what now are the possibilities for the surviving brothers? Suffocatious achiv, the Eishes ben achiv. Because now from the surviving perspective, from the surviving brother's perspective, who died? So either it's our brother, so we're doing the mitzvah of Yibum, great. Or what's the other alternative? So it may be the daughter-in-law's kid. If it's the daughter-in-law's kid, so it's the wife of my nephew. Wife of my nephew, that's not an erva. Right, wife of an uncle is an erva. Wife of a nephew is not an erva. So if it was a wife of a nephew, so that'd be fine. So mimanav shach from the older generation, that if for their quote unquote brother or again possible brother, their yibum is an option. Now, by the way, just to make this point, hopefully make this clear, then it already isn't. If it's the nephew's wife, obviously it's not the mitzvah of yibum, obviously. But nevertheless, the point is that miman of shach, they're allowed to marry that woman. Mesok sherim. Now, the Mishnah is going to do the same thing, meaning the case construct is exactly the same. The only thing that's going to happen over here is we're just going to have the Vadai pass away. So Meso Ksherim, so if the Ksherim dies, so in other words, again, there's a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and they had other children, and definitive, we know who the other children are. And then they have each one of them has a child together, and confusion in terms of who belongs to whom. And so again, each one of them took one home and raised them as their own, but it's a tarobah, so we don't know who belongs to who. And now, in this case in the Mishnah, we're having the Ksherim are going to pass away. So now, who's left to do Yibum? The confused children. So atarovus levnei zekin nacholtzim v'lo miyamim. Shu safek eshes achiv eshes achi aviv. So the so for the bnei hazakena, for them you can only do chalitza, but you can't do yibum because it's either the wife of our brother or it is eshes achi aviv or it's the wife of my uncle. Meaning those are the two possibilities. And for the wife of an uncle, that's an erva. Now for the bnei akala, so from their perspective, that would be better. Because one will do chalitza and the other one will do yibum. And again, miman nafshach, it would be fine. Because again, what are the two possibilities? Either it was my brother's wife or it's my nephew's wife. And nephew's wife is not an erva. Again, not a mitzvah of yibum, but not an erva. Miman nafshach would be fine. Okay. Kohenish and Nizar Vlad de Bavlad Shiv Chasa. Okay, we are going to leave the world of Yibum and with these last Mishnayos, but we're still going to be in the world of Tarovitz and confusion. Okay, Cohen's wife is delivering a baby, and lo and behold, at the same time, the Shivcha of said Cohen also is delivering a baby. And they both go to the hospital and they both deliver at the same time. Mazel tov, you have a new son, and your shivcha also has a son as well. That's great. The only problem is that, once again, it was confusion. We don't know who belongs to whom. And so both children are brought home. So one is his son and the other one is the shivcha son, shivcha that he owns. So what do we do? So the Mishnah says, so oddly enough, even though when they grow up, they don't know which one is the Cohen and which one is the Ben Cohen and which one is the Ben Shivcha, they both are allowed to eat truma. Because, right, an Evan, Kanani, a Shivcha, Kananis is allowed to eat truma when he or she is owned by the Cohen. So they both can eat truma. Now when they go to the granary to collect, so they're only going to get one portion. Because the Eved by himself is not entitled to a portion, he's only entitled to eat from that of the owner. So when they go together, they only represent one chelek. Now they cannot be matam lemesim, neither the Kohen or his partner in crime. But in other words, the complementary, that's a better way to say it. The complementary child, because again, they don't know who is the Kohen and who is the Ben Evan, Ben Shivcha. So at a suffix, neither of them can be Matam Lameis. They can't come into contact with Tumah, with human remains. Bein Anosim Nashim, Bein Kshirim, Bein Psulos. And then the Mishnah makes a statement which we understand, but it's really difficult to understand. Neither can marry. Neither can marry. Why not? Because again, we don't know who's the Kohen and who's the Ben Shivcha. So Ben Shivcha's not allowed to marry a Jew. So we don't know who belongs to whom, or we don't know who is who, I should say. So neither of them can get married. Now that is an impossible situation, and the Gemara often raises this as a we don't like this at all. And you know, to prevent somebody from getting married, I mean, we spend a perek on in the Masechta so far, and we will spend other perakim as well dealing with what the Chachamim do to allow somebody to get married or remarried.
Can't see him.
Oh, so then the Mishnah says, Phil, very good. Higdila tarovus v'shachru zezen osanashim ru'is l'kohuna. However, when they get older, here's what you can do in order to alleviate the situation, says the Mishnah. What you can do is that, again, you have a Kohen and a Ben Shivcha, and again, they don't know who is whom. So when they get older, so they'll have the following conversation. It's a fantastic conversation. If I'm the Kohen and I own you, I'm freeing you. And then the reverse. If I'm the Kohen and I own you, so I'm going to free you. So then they free each other. So now, great. So what are we looking at right now? Either I'm a Kohen or I'm a freed Eved Kanani. Freed Eved Kanani. That's he's the Yisrael. He's a ger. So now they're allowed to marry. But again, who can they marry? So only somebody who can marry a Kohen. Because again, 50% chance that I'm a Kohen. 50% chance I'm a Kohen, so I can't marry Grusha. Okay. And still, in their state that they're in right now, they can't be metam lemeis, because again, same point, 50% chance they're coming, therefore they cannot be metam lemeis. Now, what if they do become metam lemeis? They violate the Isra in the Torah? Maybe. 50% chance they violate Isra in the Torah, you don't get malchus. Ve'inam ochlem b'truma, they're not allowed to eat truma. Again, 50% chance that I'm a kohen, but that also means 50% chance that I'm not a kohen. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat truma. V'yim achleim asham karen v'chamish. Now, what if they do eat truma? So they don't have to make restitution of karen v'chamish. And whenever a non-kohen were to eat truma, so he has an obligation to make restitution. Karen v'chamish, the principal value of the truma that he ate, plus another 20%, and again, I really mean 25% of its value added on, and as a kapara, as an atonement for that which he did wrong. That's talking about if he ate a b'shogeg. Ve'einan chokin ala garen, and they don't go to the granary in order to collect from the granary. Umochrin es ha-truma. They can sell truma, meaning they can't eat truma. But if they're in the possession of truma, so they can sell it because, again, 50% chance that he's a kohen. And the proceeds belong to them. Now, how can that be? In other words, there's 50% chance they're a kohen, but also 50% chance they're not a kohen. So how can they keep the proceeds of truma? Answer? Because when someone's coming to extract money from me, he needs to bring absolute proof that the money doesn't belong to me. Over here, because there is a 50% chance that I'm a Kohen, and I sold the Truma, so now someone's coming over to me demanding that money. A Kohen's coming over and saying, hey, that money doesn't belong to you. When you're extracting money from me, you have to bring proof positive that the money doesn't belong to me. And they don't divide the Kachay HaMikdash. Now, this line in the Gemara in the Mishnah is a little bit unclear exactly what this is referring to. I'm going to go to Rashi, but I'm going to make a skip in Rashi. Rashi gives a first pshat, which he ends up not liking. Lashon Acher ve'ikar. Rashi is halfway down the Amud. It's the first words in the Rashi are Lashon Acher ve'ikar. Rashi here quotes, Einos alem kachem bebechor v'charamim, kamar. When the Mishnah says that you don't give them kachem mizbeach, it means that you do not give them b'chor and chayrim. B'chor, firstborn animals that go to the Kohen. Charamim, consecrated properties that are designated to go to the Kohanim. Back to Rashi. B'chor, charamim, kamer, ve'in motzina shalahem yadam. Sorry. Hold that place in Rashi. Let's go back to the Mishnah. So again, Einachokim bekachem mizbeach hamikdash. They don't receive bechor and cherem. That's per Rashi second shot. Einosin lehem kachim. You don't give them kachim. Vein matzil motzian shalahem yadehem. And you don't take it away from their hands. What does that mean? Back to Rashi. Ein motzian et shalahem yadam da amar ana kohen v'gabe charamim na mitanan a kohanim ein machrim shacharamim shalahem v'hada ori mai ka'avid bebechor shalo yirad shiistai v'lo yakriven utam dim kein lo yachals b'saro shamakriv yakven v'lashon rishon kashali. Okay, fine. And then Rashi goes on to dismiss the first pshat. But anyway, if they do get a bechor in their hand, so you don't get to take it away. They get to keep the bechor. And whenever they have an animal, they don't have to give Zor L'chai Keva to another Kohen. Because again, there's a 50% chance that they're a Kohen. And therefore, they can retain Zor L'chai V'keva. Zor L'chai V'keva, every animal that shechted, parts of the animal have to go to a Kohen. Part of the Manus Kahuna. Again, because they're 50% chance that they're a Kohen, they get to retain it. Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. U'b'choro Yehei Roe Ad Shistai V'nosen Olav Chumri Kohanim V'chumri Yisraelim. And in terms of their bechor, so they have a bechor animal. So what can they do with the bechor animal? Let it graze, develop a blemish, and then eat it. They don't. In other words, they don't have to. They don't have to give it to another kohen.
This is indefinite, like generation after generation.
Right. Agreed. In other words, this state of suffix is going to agreed. State of suffix is going to go into perpetuity.
Yeah. If one of them is in Israel, how is he going to be able to get to the area where the Kohen is?
Right. There's no right there again. That the pshat and Rashi that I skipped is that it's talking about going into the Azara and eating carbon and getting the oros, but Rashi doesn't like it. But okay, they're not. In other words, the simplest answer to your question is they're not. They're not going to go. Mesu HaKasherim. Okay, so there were two parts to this Mishnah. The first part was still in the world of Yevamos, and the second part had to do with a Kohen and a Ben Shifcha who got mixed up together. Okay. First things first, we're just going to go back to the beginning of the Mishnah and just iron out a couple of the Lashonos of the beginning of the Mishnah. Again, we're talking about where the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law delivered a baby at the same day, and the babies got mixed up, and each one possibly came home with their son, but we don't know. And the Mishnah dealt with how do we handle the mitzvah of Yibum in such circumstances. So the Ela Hanach Mishum de Iruvalu Havalu Psulim. So the Gemara is just simply objecting to the language of the Mishnah when the Mishnah says Pasul, disqualified. That's a strong language to use just because there's confusion of who's the mother and who's the father. Psulim is a very strong language, and the Gemara is objecting. So Amar Rav Papa, Ema Umesu Havadayim. Okay, so Rav Papa says, you know what? It is objectionable language in the Mishnah, and let's say that the Mishnah either says or means. I'm not sure if he's editing the Mishnah or just reinterpreting the Mishnah, but Vadayim. We don't mean Ksherim Psulim. What we really mean is those who know who their parents are and those who are unclear who their mothers are. That's all the Mishnah means. Libnei Akala Echad Cholitz V'chulei. Remember, the Mishnah had a scenario where, again, it was one son belonged to the mother-in-law, the other one belonged to the daughter-in-law, but we don't know which one's which. And then subsequently, the Mishnah described a scenario in which one of them died. So who can do the mitzvah of Yibum? So again, what the Mishnah said is that the older generation can do the mitzvah of Yibum, but the children of the younger generation cannot do the mitzvah of Yibum. And again, the reason why is because from the older generation, it's either they're doing the mitzvah of Yibum or it's just their nephew. Which is not an erva. And the Mishnah says that all the surviving brothers, some of them are going to do chalitza, and then the one last one is going to be doing yibam, and the Gemara says dafka. It has to be specifically in that order. The Gemara has made this point already numerous times. Again, because we don't know who the identity, who is who, so you got to do chalitza first, because if you don't do chalitza first, so then it's possible that she's still a yivama, and Yivam Lashuk, Yivam is not allowed to marry someone outside the family. So everyone does chalitza, takes care of the issue of Yivam Lashuk, and then the last surviving brother is going to be doing Yibam. And again, either he's doing Yibam or it's his nephew. But either way, it's not Yivam Lashuk. Kohenish and Isarev. Okay, now we're up to the second half of the Mishnah, and now from here until really the end of the Perek. I mean, there's another Mishnah coming up. But really, from here until the end of the Perek, we're going to be dealing with issues of Kohanim. Again, the case in our Mishnah is the Kohen's wife and his Shefcha both delivered on the same day. Doesn't have to be the same day. Delivered, and the babies got confused, and now we don't know each child does not know who his mother is. So in other words, he may be the son of a Shefcha, or he may be the son of a Bas Kohen. An Ashes Kohen. And so the Mishnah dealt with all the collateral damage that occurs and all the considerations that these two children have to go in life, now not knowing who their mother is. Says the Gemara, we are on Tzadi Tesamad Beis, halfway down the two dots, Kohanish and Isarev. So Chelech Echad Pshita. So Pshita. So Gemara says when they go to the granary, they only get one portion. The Gemara says, okay, certain things in the Mishnah are so obvious, like the Mishnah doesn't have to say them. And the Gemara says, and isn't this one of them? So the Gemara says, Ema Chelech Keechad Tanan. So the Gemara says, no, even if they went together, they're only going to get one portion. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that the Eved of a Kohen goes to the granary. Okay. Now, on his own, you're not going to give him. Fine. You're not going to give him. But if he's together with his master, so you're going to give him. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Eved of a Kohen who is allowed to eat Truma can go to the granary together with his master and he'll receive a portion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yachosh Omer, Im Kohen, Ani, Tenuli Bishvil Atzmi, Vim Eved Kohen, Ani, Tenuli Bishvil Rabbi. So Rabbi Yossi says that he'll say, look, if I'm a Kohen, so give me because of myself. And now if I'm the slave of a Kohen, so give me on behalf of my master. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, this child can go to the granary and say, look, you'll give me, either way, miman of shach, I'm entitled to a portion. And the Gemara says, and what's the machlokas over here? The machlokas goes like this. When you see someone collecting from the granary, okay, in other words, what does that mean? It means one of two things. Well, before we get to the two things, it means one thing for sure. This person obviously has an entitlement to eat truma. Okay? That's clear. Now from that point going forward, it could mean the following. It could mean that he's a Kohen, and therefore, I'm giving him truma because he's a Kohen. Or what it could mean is that I'm not a Kohen, but I have an entitlement to eat. I.e., I'm the wife of a Kohen, which I know we're not discussing right now, or I'm the slave of a Kohen. In other words, I have an entitlement to eat. So the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda over here. Again, what's the issue? Start with Rabbi Yehuda. Let's go in order of the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says the slave cannot go by himself. The only way he can go is together with his master. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, the slave can go by himself. The issue over here is as follows. When you see someone going to the granary, what assumptions do people generally make when they see that? So the Gemara says, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda, bim komosha Rabbi Yehuda, right, again, according to the language of the Braisa, the hayumalin mitruma liyuchsin. When you see someone making a collection of from the granary, so everyone therefore assumed in the area of Rabbi Yehuda that he's a Kohen. Okay, and therefore, he'll get the first aliyah, they'll ask him to bench first, he'll duchen, in other words, they'll assume he's a Kohen. Bim komoshel Rabbi Yossi, but in the location of Rabbi Yossi, no. They don't make such an assumption. All they'll simply say is, either he's a Kohen, or he's someone who's entitled to eat truma. He's the Ashes Kohen, again, I know we're not talking about women right now. He's an Ashes Kohen, he's an Evid Kohen, but all it means is that he's entitled, but let's not make any more assumptions. And so the Gemara says, it's a strange machlokas, but what assumptions do we make when someone gets truma? It makes a collection of truma. And so that's the difference between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. You got to pick it up yourself. You got to pick it up yourself. Tanya the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Sadek Mi'amai Lohi Adati El Eidus Echad. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Sadek says, you know, all my life, I only testified once about someone's yichus, and you know how these things work. You know, in other words, I did it only once, and I got bitten. And that's exactly what he says, and I got bitten. And what happened was, is that I said, yeah, you know that guy over there? I see him collecting truma all the time, and he's got to be a Kohen. And meanwhile, I was wrong. Meaning he wasn't a Kohen. He was the Eved of a Kohen. And so what happened? So the Gemara says, first of all, halu saka dadcha. So the Gemara says, do you really think this happened to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok Hashem Hemtos Shal Tzadikin and Kosh Baruch Hu Mevi Tekala Yadam Tzadikim Atzman L'Kol Shekein. Kosh Baruch Hu protects the animals of Tzadikim, and Kosh Baruch Hu is going to protect the Tzadikim themselves. Don't think, says the Gemara, this actually happened. So Elayim Abi Bikshul Alos Hev Lekun Api. So the Gemara just simply corrects, and the Gemara says, no, they were considering doing it based on his testimony, but Kadosh Baruch Hu intervened, and Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow it to happen. There is a much longer discussion. I'll mention it now just briefly, and that is that if you look at the Bach over here, you see that small aleph right before that line of the Gemara. If you look at the Bach over here, the Bach says, take it out. Take it out. Why does the Bach say that? Because Tosfos says it. Tosfos says, take it out. Meaning that the Gemara over here says that when it comes to the Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for them an extra protection and won't allow them to violate an issur in the Torah. The Gemara says, the Tosfos says, that's not true. In other words, everyone is just as vulnerable to Averus, tzaddikim and non-tzaddikim. When you're tzaddik, it means that you've refined yourself to a certain degree, to a large degree, but you're certainly susceptible and vulnerable to Averus. What the Gemara over here says is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides protection, that's in terms of eating non-kosher. That's where Kadosh Baruch Hu provides protection, divine protection. But in other areas of halachas, so they're just as vulnerable as everybody else. Anyway, it's a longer discussion. Just belongs here in the Gemara, doesn't belong here in the Gemara. Anyway, what happened? Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok saw somebody collecting truma. He said, or thought to say, that guy's a Kohen, and meanwhile it turned out that he wasn't. Gemara now just gives us like the rest of the story. So he saw the person collecting in the community of Rabbi Yossi. Now again, in the community of Rabbi Yossi, who collected truma? Anyone who was allowed to eat. Doesn't mean you're a Kohen, but anyone is allowed to eat. And then what he did is he went to the community of Rabbi Yehuda and he reported, hey, you know what I saw? I saw him. He pointed to the guy and he said, I saw him collecting truma. In the community of Rabbi Yehuda, if you collected truma, you know what that means? Oh, it means you're a Kohen. So in other words, the miscommunication came about by the fact that in some communities, anyone who can eat collected truma, and in other communities, only Kohanim collected truma, and that resulted in all the confusion. Tana Rabbanan Asar in Chokel Lam Truma Beleza Granas. Okay. And this now allows the Gemara a phenomenal opportunity to describe who can and cannot make a collection of truma. Who can go to the Beis HaGoren, to the granary, in order to collect truma. So again, I know we just saw Machlokas in the Gemara whether Avadim can or cannot, but now the Gemara is going to give a lengthy list of those who cannot. Now, mind you, by the way, when we're giving a list of those who cannot, what does that mean? It means primarily that they're allowed to eat it, they just can't go and they can't make a collection. For reasons which we're going to explain. Asarin chokalem truma beveis agranus ve'elohin. And they are Cherishot v'katan, so the three that are normally collected, put together. They don't have das, so Cherish the deaf mute, Katan a minor, and I'm sorry, a Shota, someone who is clinically insane, and a Katan a minor. So they can collect. Right, so that's 1, 2, and 3. 4 and 5, Tumtum v'androgynous. So those who are gender confused, Tumtum it's covered. Androgynous, they're demonstrating both. Ha-eved, slave. Ha-isha, a woman. Meaning again, Bas Kohen or Eishes Kohen. She can't collect from the granary. Ha-arel, non-circumcised Kohen. Ha-tame, Kohen who's tame. V'nos isha she'no genaslo. Or if the Kohen is married to someone he shouldn't be married to. In other words, the Kohen's married to a Grusha, so he also can't collect. V'kula m'shagran lam labatehem. Now, in terms of they can't collect, but can you allow them to eat? So in most of the 10 examples that are listed in this bright, the answer is yes, with exception. Chutz mitame, v'nos isha she'no genaslo. However, the exceptions are going to be someone who's tame, obviously, he's tame, can't eat truma in his current state right now, or someone who's married to a grusha, so you don't send him the truma. Now, as we already spent a lot of time in the Masechta learning together, just to remind each other that when a Kohen's married to a grusha, she becomes a chalala. He, the man, doesn't become a halal, but still has a kenas, as a penalty for the fact that he's married to a grusha. So don't send him truma. Okay, these are the ten Kohanim who can't collect from the granary. Why not? So the Gemara goes through each one step by step. So number Bishlam Acherishot v'Katan Labanei De'Aninu. So in terms of 1, 2, and 3, they don't have das. So they don't have das, and therefore they cannot collect. Thank you. So let's see if we can understand it just a little bit better. Why is das so critical? Why is it so important? We're just talking about they're allowed to eat truma. So why can't they collect? They don't have das. If you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi writes, it's the last Rashi on the Amud. So So Rashi explains in the Gemara, it's degrading to the truma. Meaning truma is kedusha, truma is special. Okay, in other words, aside from the fact that it's kodesh and it's and a tummy can't eat it, but in other words, just in general, it's special. So you're gonna, I've seen this done, but like it's like bringing children to like a fancy restaurant. Like, well, okay, and again, I know I'm mixing up a halachic discussion and a social discussion, but just to make the point hopefully clear. In other words, it's a fancy restaurant. You don't bring children to a fancy restaurant. Okay, some do. Right, but exactly. So here also, Rashi says it's the same idea over here. It's truma, it's special. So you're going to have people who don't have das going and collecting the truma? Yes, they can eat it. Right, you bring home the doggy bag from the restaurant, and you know, and you that's fine. But they're not going to go to the restaurant. They're not going to eat. So you're not going to bring the children and the shot and the cherish over to the grating to collect. The Gemara says zilusa de truma. It's degrading to the truma.
They can't maybe because they can keep from becoming truma also.
Could be another way. The okay. Yeah, the Tosus seems to indicate, Phil, if you look at that last Tosus on the Amud, seems to suggest what you were suggesting. Okay, right. They don't know how to take good care of themselves to make sure that they eat the truma in a state of tahara. Okay, next. Last line on Sadi Tetzamid base. Tumtum and Jaganos Nami. Birya bifne atzmaninu. So in terms of tumtum and Jaganos, why can they not collect? So because they're unique creatures. Okay. And Rashi is consistent. Take a look at the Rashi on the top of Kuf Amud Aleph. Rashi says, "Bir b'fnei atzma, the unique creatures v'havi zilusa de kachim." And once again, it's not just not appropriate for the kachim to be distributed to a tumtum or into an androgynous. The Evan Nami Dilma Asil Asukim and Truma Liyuchsin. Now, why can an Evan collect from the granary? So again, he's allowed to eat the Truma, but he makes a collection from the granary, like we mentioned just a couple moments ago in the Daf. And people are going to think, oh, he's a Kohen. You're allowed to marry, right, the Duchen and marriage and first Aliyah. So again, so not to have people make false assumptions about him, he doesn't collect from the granary. Good. Aruvatame Mishum Demi'isi. When it comes to an Aru and Tame, they cannot collect. And the reason why they cannot collect, because it's most disgusting for a RL and for a tummy to go in to collect. And for the tummy, again, we can make the point even stronger, meaning the moment he handles the truma is going to become tummy. And I guess the Mishnah over here, I mean, maybe we could suggest that somehow he's going to be able to bring it home without actually handling it. Either way, they don't collect. It's most. Nosi Yishasheno, Gedoslo Mishum Kanasa. And the Gemara says, someone who's married to a Kohen's married to a Grusha. So he doesn't go and collect. And why doesn't he go and collect? Because it's a penalty. Like I said earlier, he's not a halal by being married to a grusha, but just he's a Kohen behaving in a most inappropriate fashion, being married to a grusha, so therefore he is penalized from not collecting the Kohen, the truma. Isha, my time alone. But now we get up to the woman. The woman cannot collect from the granary. Okay, so we mentioned, the Gemara gave an explanation for 9 of the 10. Now we're up to the 10th. I know in the Brisa, she's not number 10. In the Brisa, she was number 7. But okay, point's still going to be the same. Why can't she go to the granary? Again, she's either an Ashes Kohen, she's a Bas Kohen, she's entitled to Truma, so let her collect from the granary. Why not? Gemara gives two reasons. One of two issues, says the Gemara. Either number one, Grusha. In other words, like I said, this earlier in the Masechta, the fluctuating status of a woman. A woman on one day may be entitled to eat truma, but on the other day, and the next day may not be entitled to eat truma. Okay, if she's an Ashes Kohen, so her entitlement to eat truma is based on the fact she's married to a Kohen. She gets a divorce, she's no longer entitled. So there's a fluctuating status that not everyone's going to keep up with her status. So she'll be collecting, she's been coming for years to the granary to collect truma, and now after the divorce, she'll still collect. And no one's going to...
How did the Kohen get the Trumas? Huh? He was married to the Grusha.
No. We're not discussing the Kohen married to a Grusha. We're talking about a woman in general. A woman in general who cannot collect from the granary, and the Gemara is going to give two explanations why. The first reason is because of the fluctuating nature of the status of a woman. She one day is entitled, the next day she's not entitled. And again, the problem is that not everyone's keeping up with her status change. And the other issue is yichud. In other words, a woman's going and collecting from the granary. So could be that the only one in the granary right now is the farmer. And then the woman's going to be there, and it's just going to be the farmer and the woman alone. And that's yichud. A violation of yichud, which is also, obviously, the Yisr Torah of yichud is there to prevent from anything further happening. My Benayu, the Gemara points out, Nafkaminas. So one nafkamina between these two reasons would be where you have the granary close to the city, but it's not a popular place to go. If it's close to the city, Rashi explains, so you're pretty much in touch with what's going on. So you know her status change, but people don't frequently go. It's just not a popular place to go. So then, therefore, we're back to the yichud issues. Or it's not close to the city. It's out in the boondocks. But there are a lot of people there. So in terms of Yichud, there's no problem of Yichud, but because they are out of town, if you will, so then they don't know what's going on. I assume this Yichud discussion also would apply to the Bas Kohen as well. I assume so. Now again, for her, her fluctuating status would be if she gets married and she marries not a Kohen, she marries a Yisrael.
Was she aged out of
the... Huh? Okay, right. Another right. There are reasons why she also would have a fluctuating status. An Arel, you could send the truma to the Arel. My taima mishum de anis. So the Gemara says because he's an Arel, but he's an Ones, meaning, as Rashi explains over here, why is he an Arel? Let's assume he's an Arel because his brothers died by Machmas Mila, right? A hemophilic family, and the brothers died, and he didn't get a Mila. So, okay, fine, but he's an Ones. So, Tami Nami Ha'anis. So the Gemara says, Tami also, isn't he an Ones? The Gemara says, it's not the same. Hai Nefishun Seva, Hai Lo Nefishun Sei. The Gemara says, let's not compare the two. In other words, when it comes to an Arel and his brothers died, he's a legit Ones. But when it comes to the Tame, how did he become Tame? And his situation can be rectified. And so it's the Gemara says it's not the same. Tanu Rabbanan. However, Visha and Chokan Lam Chuma Beis Agranos of Makom Shechokan Nos Nel Leisha Tchila UPochrin Osa Miyad. Okay, now again, like we saw earlier, and now we're going to say it again. In some communities, so they would make a distribution, and in some communities they would not. So if you did not make a distribution to the women, so then end of discussion. And if you did make a distribution to women, in some communities they did. So first thing you do is you give to the woman, and then you excuse her right away. Meaning, for lack of a better term, chivalry. a little bit of chivalry for the day. But it's not really chivalry. It's not a...
Hang around with me.
Correct. It's more. This has much more to do with tznius. So my kamar, achi kamar, b'makom shechokim, ma'isarani, no'snen le'isha tchila. So the Gemara says that we don't really mean we're distributing truma to a woman, as we mentioned, she's one of the ten. That's not what we mean. We mean we're talking about other types of distributions. For example, Maisarani. Maisarani, that's a distribution. Women do receive Maisarani. Now, huh?
The granary.
Excellent, Ben. It's like I planted you right here. So the women are collecting from the granary. Well, if that's true, so then why would there be a difference between a woman collecting her maaserani versus a woman collecting her truma? Rashi recognizes that that's an issue. Rashi says that the maaserani is not distributed at the granary. Where is maaserani distributed? Out of the house, says Rashi. Rashi quotes a couple of sources why this is so. Right now, again, just for the purposes of brevity. I'll send you to the Rashi. Take a look at the Rashi inside, where Rashi knows that the Maaser Ani is distributed out of the house. So therefore, a woman is able to collect her Maaser Ani because she doesn't have to go to the granary. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so make sure. So again, you have at the door two poor people. One's a woman, one's a man. Give to the woman first and let her go. So the Gemara says, "My time mishum zilusa." So the Gemara says it's degrading, meaning it's not. It's just pasnish. It's not appropriate to have a woman sitting and waiting. Somebody you're going to give to somebody else first. That's just simply not appropriate. Give to the woman. Let her go first. Amarava Mereisha Kiavu Asu Gavra V'Yisus Aladina Kamai. So Rava says, based on this, on what we just learned, Rava says, I practice the following. Rava was the head of a court, and he had obviously a lot of people coming for litigation. So if he had two cases, one involving a woman and one involving a man, so obviously in litigation there are probably more people involved. But the basic idea is that they were there waiting. So v'isus aladina kamay havasharina tigra de gavra bereisha. I mean de mechay b'mitzvos. So my first inclination was that let me first deal with the man and the man's case because, you know, he's chayv a mitzvah, he's obligated a mitzvah, he's got to go learn Torah, meaning he's got a lot going on. And he let the woman wait. But then, kevin deshaman alaha, sharina tigra, I'm sorry, kevin deshaman alaha, but then he learned what we just learned, and that is that when making a distribution of Maaser Ani, first give to the woman, then to the man, so then all he did was just extend the halacha. Oh, good. So that's what we learned regarding distribution of Maaser Ani. It's the same thing is going to be true regarding any time that you got to tend to them, tend to the woman first, and then to the man. Sharina tigra, this is a bereisha, my time mishum zilusa. again, pasnish. It's just not appropriate to have a woman sitting there waiting while other people are there. And so let the woman go first. Higdilu hatarovis. Okay, they grew up together. We're back to the Mishnah again. The Ashes Kohen, the Shivcha Kohen are both delivered. They both had the baby, and the babies got mixed up in the hospital. And now they come home, and the children obviously don't know whether they are the son of a Kohen or the son of a Shivcha. Shichru I bai ini lo bai lo. The Gemara is offended by the way the Mishnah is presenting it. Like, when they grow up, they may free one another. As if it's like, hey, if you want to do it.
Sure.
If you want to do it, v'amai. Lisa Shivcha in a yochel, bas kohen in a yochel. So the Gemara says, what you're doing is, you're making it as an option where, you know, if you're going to get married, fine. But if you're not going to get married, that's also fine. That shouldn't be an option. You should always make it a possibility for a man to marry a woman. So Amarava, Ema Kofanos HaMashachron Zezah. So again, so Rava goes back to our Mishnah. Rava says, okay, don't read the Mishnah that way. The correct way to read the Mishnah, or to understand the Mishnah, is that this is not a suggestion, it's an order. They should free one another to allow each one of them the opportunity to marry. The Gemara now is dealing with the last point of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah makes a very vague statement of, you give them the chumras of Kohanim and Yisraelim, meaning after they free one another. So again, now what do we have? We have a Kohen and a Ger, meaning a Yisrael. Maybe it's all gear. So now the Mishnah ends off by saying, but they still have to have, they still have to maintain chumras. Chumri Kohanim and Chumri Yisraelim. And that's all the Mishnah said. What does that mean? Gemara goes on to explain. So here's what it means. If they're ever going to offer a mincha. Now we know by a mincha, there are two components to the mincha. There's the kmitza, and there's the shirayim. What normally happens? What normally happens is the kohen takes a fistful of the flour, throws it on the mizbeach, that's the kometz, and then the rest of it, the shirayim, are eaten by kohanim. However, pasuk in the Torah, if the mincha is owned by a kohen, so everything is burned. Both the kometz and the shirayim are burnt on the mizbeach. Here, if one of these two were offering a mincha, so now we don't know. Minchas Yisrael, Minchas Kohen. We don't know. So here's what this is what the Mishnah was talking about. We're going to have to treat this mincha as a chumra, as if it were owned by a Kohen and by Yisrael. Ketzar, so what do you do? A Kohen's krav batzman, v'shirayim kraven batzman. So the Gemara says, so what you're going to do is, you're going to throw both of the parts of the mincha on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, wait a second. There's a chance, a 50% chance, that the shirayim should not be burned on the Mizbeach. And you're burning it on the Mizbeach? But, so in other words, you can't just simply throw things on the Mizbeach if they don't belong on the Mizbeach. I'm Rav Yehuda Berei, the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, the Masik Luhu, L'shum Eitzim Kareb Elazar. The Gemara says there is a halachic mechanism which allows you to take the shirayim and put them in the Mizbeach, even if it really doesn't belong in the Mizbeach. For example, Ditanya, Rabbi Elazar Amar L'rech Nechochi Atamala, Aval Atamala L'shum Eitzim. What you can do is you can take the shirayim and put up on the Mizbeach and say it's L'shem Eitzim. In other words, it's going to serve as fuel. I know flour doesn't make for the best fuel, but it'll serve as fuel for the mizbeach. So, Hanich l'Rabbi Elazar l'Rabbi Michael Amemar David like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon d'Tanya. The Gemara says, okay, but not everyone agrees with Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, so what are you going to do? So the Gemara says, you'll practice another mechanism, and that is like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon d'Tanya. The Gemara quotes a brace. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Amar Kometz Karav Latzma Veshirayim Mitpazrim Al Beis Adeshen. So the kometz you put on the mizbeach, because l'kulei alma you take the kometz you put on the mizbeach, the shirayim sprinkle on the Beis Adeshen. Rashi says that's where we deposit the Trumas Adeshen on the south. I got to get back to my kachem on the southeast. Yeah, on the southeast side of the ramp.
Is it tapuch?
No. The tapuch is on the top of the mizbeach. It's a depository where the ashes are placed. The afilu rabban lo pliga la derab lazer rabbi shimon ela ben minchas chotish a kohanim debas akravihi avahacha afilu rabban amoda. And it's true, says the Gemara, that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, but that's only as it relates to a minchas chote, the mincha of a sinner. But here, even the Chachamim would agree that this is a viable option. We're going to take the Shiraim and I'll put it on the Beis Hadeshen, which is on the east side of the ramp.
That's not a design.
Again, in general, you treat it the way it's supposed to be treated. But over here, because this owner is unclear whether he's a Kohen or whether he's Yisrael, so therefore we have to use such a halachic mechanism. Okay. Next Mishnah.
Does this fall under the category of
Shilvah al-Chassid? It falls under the category of Suffolk, meaning we don't know what he is. And no, so,
but the Rabbanan prohibiting you from doing a positive mitzvah.
Well, again, if he's a Kohen, so then it has to go on the Mizbech. If he's a Yisrael, so then it can't go on the Mizbech. So we're stuck over here. We know, we've just discussed this time and again throughout our Masechta, a woman, for whatever reason, leaves one marriage, she's got to wait 3 months before going into another marriage for the reasons of establishing paternity. We've said this time and again. And the Mishnah over here describes a scenario where a woman doesn't wait. So, she only waits 2 months after the termination of her former marriage, going into the second marriage, and has a child 7 months later. And so now we simply do not know whether or not this child belongs to the first father or to the second father. So, ve'en yodim ben tish l'rishon ben shiv l'acharon hayu l'banim min harishon u'banim min hasheni. And so now, let's say our middle child, and I say middle child over here, I mean it in the most literal sense. He's right now smack in the middle between. We know who his mother is, but we do not know who his father is. It may be A or B. Okay? See, so hayula banim in arishon banim in asheni. Now, let's say this woman in question, let's say she had other children from A and from B, and they're definitive children. So chotzim v'lo miyabim. So a Mishnah over here describes now what happens if and when he dies, meaning the middle child. So the other brothers are going to do chalitza, but they're not going to do yibum. Uvechein hu lahem chotzim v'lo miyabim. Similarly, if the definitive son of A dies, the definitive son of B dies, so he is going to do chalitza, but he's not going to do yibum. And the reason why he's not going to do yibum is very simple. If you see the case clearly, he's not going to do yibum because he doesn't know if he's a paternal brother. He knows maternally that they are siblings, but he doesn't know paternally if they're siblings, and the mitzvah of yibum is only for paternal brothers.
If there are other brothers who could be doing yibum,
yes. And the answer would absolutely be yes. But here the Mishnah is describing a scenario where it's just 1, 2, and 3. Right?
What was the question?
His question was, what if there are any other brothers? So then the answer would be the other brothers would be doing the mitzvah. Here the Mishnah, we're now in the top of Kuf Amud Beis, here the Mishnah describes the following scenario. Let's say that there are other brothers, but not from mom, but from dad. In other words, dad had other brothers from another wife, and the second dad had other brothers from another wife. So, Hayulo Achim and Arishim Vachim and Asheni, Shalomi also Aim, Hu Choleitz Umiyabim, Vehim Echat Choleitz Vehachem Yabim. So here, oddly enough, he could do Yibum. Why? And the answer, again.
What's the case?
Okay, fine. Dad had children from another marriage. Dad then married this woman, and then marriage ended. 2 months later, she married another man, and then had a child. Okay, so now, this child may be the son of A or the son of B. We don't know. Then, the second father also had a series of children, but from another marriage. So in other words, then now this middle child may be brothers with the father, we know who his mother is, and we have two excellent candidates in terms of who the father is, but we don't know. So now the Mishnah says in such a scenario, he could do the mitzvah of Yibum. In other words, if the sons of A die or the sons of B die, he could do the mitzvah of Yibum. Why? So how do you figure it out? So the reason why is because you have two options over here. Either the sons of A are his brother, and not only his brother, but his paternal brother, or they're not related at all.
But how is it from the first case where they each have?
Because in the first case, they are for sure maternally related. The only question now is, are they paternally related? So in the first case, it actually is worse, because we know for sure they're maternally related, and the only question is, are they paternally related? So either it's Yibum or it's Eishasach Shalobah Makom Yibum. It's an Erva. Here, it's either Yibum or it's just a random guy.
So they're not the same mother.
Right. Correct. Correct. So va'achim sheni shlomi yosoim hu cholos miyaba vehim echad cholos vecha miyabim. Now, if the middle child died in this scenario, so then the brothers on both sides, one will do chalitza and the other will do yibam. And again, the chalitza that's done is just to make sure that it's not yivam l'shuk, to unlock her if she is in fact his yivama, and then the other one will marry. And again, the other one will marry either doing the mitzvah of yibam or just getting married to a nice Jewish girl.
But if the Yibama has been done Chalitza too, they cannot have Yibum again.
And then it just simply won't be Yibum. In other words, we'll use the language of Yibum, it just won't be Yibum. But it'll be fine. Hayah Echad Yisov Echad Kohen. Now, what if one was, again, our woman who did not wait the requisite 3 months, she only waited 2 months, she moved to another man. And this other man was Yisrael. So the first husband was Cohen, the second husband was Yisrael. The child came 7 months later. What do we do? Ru'uy l'Cohen ve'ein, I'm sorry. Haya echad Yisrael ve'echad Cohen osa isha ru'uy l'Cohen ve'ein matam l'meisim. So now, the Mishnah is going to deal with life. It's going to be like just like the previous Mishnah. What's life like when I'm maybe Yisrael or I may be a Cohen? Can you imagine that, you know, the Gabbai comes over to you? What do you want to be called up for an aliyah? That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. So the Mishnah over here, of all the nafkaminas, the Mishnah over here is going to deal with the more basic ones. So who can he marry? He can only marry someone who's ruler Kohen. Because again, 50% chance that he's a Kohen. Ve'im etam l'meisim. He can't go to a cemetery. Ve'im nitmein esofik esarbaim. He's not going to get malchus. Ein ochel b'truma. He can't eat truma. Ve'im ochel ein ha'mashalim keren v'chomish. He doesn't have to make the reimbursement if he eats a b'shogig. Ve'im ocholik ala goren. He cannot collect from the granary. U'mochei ha'truma v'dam shalom. He could sell truma and the proceeds stay with him. Again, same explanation we gave earlier. Ha'motzi mechaver ala v'raya. Ve'im ocholik b'kachei ha'kadoshim. Again, I'll go back to Rashi that on the previous Amud, where that means he can't accept a Bechor. Ve'einostin lo esakachim, ve'ein motzin eshelo miado. But you can't take a Bechor away from him. U'patim enazorom v'lachayim ve'keva. He does not have to give the manos kuna. U'bechoro yeheroa achi yistayiv. Now when he has a Bechor, let it graze, develop a blemish. Ve'enostin lo v'chomer kohanim v'chomer yisraelim. And again, the Mishnah ends off with that very vague statement of he's got to deal with all the chumras of being a Kohen in Yisrael. And we'll go back to what the Gemara mentioned earlier. It has to do with a mincha, when he offers a mincha. Hayushneim Kohanim. Now, what if both fathers are a Kohen? Hu onen aleihem, vehem onenim alav. So if either of the fathers die, so he's an onen. And which means that on the day, on the Yom HaMisa, he can't eat kachim. And the same thing when if God forbid, he dies, so both of the fathers have to be an onen over him. Hu einu matame lehem, vehem einu matame lo. He can't be matame for either father, they can't be matame for him, because again, safek d'oraisa. Hu na yorish osam, avahim yorshim oso. He doesn't inherit from the fathers, they inherit him. They're going to split his estate. If God forbid he were to either hit or curse either of the fathers, it's not a capital crime because we don't know who the father is. Now, he can go up to Yerushalayim with the Mishmar, but he's not going to get an entitlement together with the other Kohanim because, again, all the other members of the Mishmar will say, we don't know for sure that you belong to this Mishmar. And then the Mishnah concludes by saying, what if both fathers belong to the same Mishmar, so then he can go up to Yerushalayim and then enjoy being together with the Mishmar, because either dad is entitled to this Mishmar, I'm entitled together with them as well. Okay, I'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Gemara.